Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Probably Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. It's Monday, so is Edwin. Hi Edwin, how are you going?
Well, Martin, I'm a bit razzled and frazzled today because it's the strangest things have just happened. I've just been called in to represent a client of ours at an auction that's been brought forth from Saturday to Monday. So we're doing the rant in the afternoon. It's not even an evening rant anymore. That's really upsetting. Even Dusty's upset.
Well, it's hot day today. And of course, according to CoreLogic, the property market's hot. Prices have never been higher.
Hot. And that's a baffling thing about this auction. It was as hot as it was, or as it's allegedly supposed to be. And given the fact that we've squeezed them for the, not so much the buyer's guide, but the vendor's expectations, and we got a hold of that and we made it known that the vendor's expectation, at different means and ways of making the rest of the public know that what the real expectations are, I kind of want to think that there's nobody else in the running, and this so-called auction that's been called on for tonight is one that they're going to try and make us bid against ourselves, which is rather interesting. But let's see how it all goes.
Bidding against yourself, well, that could be quite interesting. Go around in circles and disappear up your own. You know what?
My interpretation of bidding against ourselves will be to go backwards, not move forwards like they want us to do. But let's see. Let's play the game. Let's see what comes of it. And let's see what this is really all about, because I am baffled. The main reason why you would go to auction on a Saturday and so close to the auction day is twofold. One, obviously, to get a result if you do have interested parties, and the second reason is to create a spectacle, create a show for the neighbours so you can get more listings. So it's baffling to see how the agents have bought this so-called auction forward by a number of days, and we're talking about a very hot area, Martin. So I'll let the viewers know what happened next at the next podcast. How's that?
And I should explain, we've got the dogs in the background here. By bringing the show forward, the dogs, of course, think they should be going for their walk. So they're very excited and they keep coming and give me a bit of a nudge. So I apologise for the dog-related noises off.
Yeah, well, Dusty and Evan, they're just overwhelmed by the heat. I think they've got a heat stroke. They're somewhere on the tiles laying down. Just cooling down. So I know where they are. They just said enough is enough. And they just disappeared.
but it is interesting. I mean, we talked about very strong property price growth for February, right? Although, of course, we questioned that a little bit. Also, of course, the ABS published their results today with regard to the new loans issued, and they claimed that it was a very strong month. But if you look carefully, it's first-time buyers and it's the construction sector, both sections of the market that have been responding to the government stimulus. And I should just make the point that the commitments may be quite strong at the moment, but if you look at the actual amount of loans funded, that's actually quite a lot lower. And overall, the growth in lending for housing reported by the Reserve Bank the other day was also quite anemic. So we need to be a little bit cautious, because a loan commitment doesn't necessarily translate to a loan made by the banks. So once again, I think we need to get into much more detail with regard to some of these numbers. So as with all of this stuff, you need to look at the real numbers, right? And one of the things we keep coming back to is you can't just look at percentages, you've got to look at real numbers. And when you look at the real numbers, it's a different story, isn't it?
Look, it is. I reached out to Philip Seuss from LF Economics, and he was kind enough to share some of the data. And I think that the data that he shares is very rich. And in terms of real numbers, these are the transactions. I mean, the mainstream media are comparing the the results or the percentage results of the auction clearance rates for the weekends, which have been relatively poor, in our opinion. As a matter of fact, I think we're still running lower than what we were in as we were moving into the pandemic and all fears of locking down. So the numbers, the actual sales transactions, are very low. So the mainstream media made a reference to the percentage numbers being as high as the highs of 2015. But when you look at the numbers of 2015, it's chalk and cheese, Martin. We're below 50% levels in the actual transaction and transaction levels, which has a very, very significant a point about all this and a significant issue, and that is the real estate industry is on its knees. The real estate industry, there's nothing that some offices are doing very well, but the majority of offices aren't, and that is what alarms me. This is the let's wait and see until the dust settles to actually see what happens and how many people in the real estate industry, how many salespeople and property management and ancillary staff are going to be let go come the end of March.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some very interesting questions rising, of course, with the job seeker disappearing. And it's interesting that the real estate sector is one of the sectors grizzling for more support from the government post that. So we'll see what happens. But it is, you know, very important to look at the real numbers rather than actually just the percentages. And I still come back to the SQM version of auction clearances, which to me gives a much better read than some of the others. And they're not as strong. But again, of course, the media is just spruiking, saying everything's buoyant, you know, huge credit growth, huge price growth, huge auction clearance rates. Well, truth and reality, somewhat different.
Well, that's right. And this is what we've been saying, Martin, is it just a wait and see. Let's see how much of this dust is going to settle come the end of March. Let's see how much of it settles post-March and, you know, over the next few weeks. One of the interesting things is I've been keeping an eye on also the actual listed numbers on the domain portal. And as I've shared many times, why I use the domain portal to gauge the listed numbers so we can have an ongoing baseline of represented properties on the market for sale. I've been doing that for a number of years now. And as many as properties get sold, there are a lot more that that are replacing those numbers. And in the areas where I've seen almost double the amount of properties listed on the market for sale, these areas are really slowed down. We're now getting agents, my clients, my colleagues' clients, and other people that I know that are on the market in those areas from the mortgage brokers that we deal with. Yeah, they're getting calls now from the agents asking, and almost seems like they're begging them to know and find out if they're gonna turn up at the auction in 2 weeks' time, if they'd like to have more information and the like. So the sentiment is changing. It's not changing as quickly as we would like it to change, obviously, but yeah, we can't have all the cake and eat it. So it's going to roll out, or it's going to evolve, or it's going to manifest itself in a slower motion than last year. But nevertheless, I am seeing the numbers ticking upwards. So it comes back to a lot of suburbs that we look for our clients. As I say to our clients, is once the numbers tick up above a certain level, in some areas we're still 20-30% below what the numbers were last year. But then again, it's only the beginning of the year. Well, I'm talking about levels, the high levels of the peak levels of listed for sale figures or numbers in springtime. We usually see the peaks, and we're not, some we've already surpassed those numbers. In other suburbs, we're still 20-30%, but the year's just started, and there's still a lot to unravel economically wise as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, you know, early start of the year, but I'll tell you something else that's still going on: underquoting like mad, going on all over the place. I've had a number of people report examples of significant underquoting over the last few days since our last show. It's right there at the centre of things, and you've got another example.
Oh, look, I try to keep my cool about the place. You know, when I go from open to open or auction to auction. But yeah, it's getting harder and harder, Martin, talking to the agents and just blatantly, it's really in your face. And this example that you're about to put up on the screen was one that we spoke on about a couple of weeks ago, where I basically corralled the agent and got her to reduce everything. And as I say to our followers and viewers, is try to reduce everything to writing so that you can have a record of what's going on. And if you want to follow it further with the authorities, you can. Yeah, with the regulators, you can, and you can have a trail. But this is an indication of what we've been talking about, and it's really in your face, which is absolutely horrific for the actors in this industry. And it's any reason why we get trounced on, and while we get literally spat on by other professionals. And yeah, what goes on, it's just amazing. I mean, it's all there before the viewer's eyes. The fact that the agent lowered the guide from 2.5 to 2.3, and I myself reached out to them and said, okay, look, you lowered your guide from 2.5 to 2.3. I'd like to submit an offer on behalf of our clients at 2.4, and there's room for this movement upwards. Can we start talking? But of course, it was never going to be on them. It was never on the market at 2.5, and it was never on the market at 2.3 because of the history behind that property. Yeah, it was bought not too long ago for almost 2.3 million plus stamp duty, plus $300,000 worth of renovations. And that's what it cost their client. But you know what, Martin? Given the conditions, given the property itself, and the fact that that area is highly sought after, the land size, I mean, I still believe that it should have gone for another $100,000, maybe even $200,000 more than what it did. But you know, and the owners, if they get to see this video, they should take their agent to task, because the agents have lost them $100,000 to $200,000 potentially, in my opinion, based on the conditions of the property and the land size and the area, given the sales in and around that property of late. So, and that's a foolish things that happen, and unfortunately, the ones that lose are the vendors, are their clients. But they don't give two rats. Some of these selling agents don't give two rats, and that's the unfortunate thing, Mark.
Well, it's all about making a transaction at any price, any cost. Never mind the right point in the market. But I suppose that has always been thus. But it seems to me, particularly now, for the reasons that maybe we discussed earlier. And I guess the other interesting question, Edwin, is where is the demand coming from for property at the moment? Of course, because some first-time buyers are buying and some people are downtrading. But it looks to me as though the Chinese buyers have pretty much exited, and in fact there was a recent article in Macro Business that really brought this home.
Well, lo and behold, Martin, I mean, isn't it something that WeChat chatterers have been telling us and we've been sharing for how long now, and it takes them so long to catch up? The Chinese buyers are gone, according to Macro Business, to their article. But we knew that. There are a lot of changes happening over in China. They're moving into digital currency. There's more compliance with regards to getting money out of China. You have to be really high up in the echelon of the party in order to be able to get money out of China, is my understanding. And the majority of the people that would otherwise come to Australia to buy property, I mean, they've either lost their businesses, lost their livelihoods as well, which is that high medium tier bracket. So they're gone. The question is, Martin, is also not only moving on from this article, the next things that our viewers or our followers or people should be very wary of is the ongoing maintenance to these apartments that are vacant, because there's not going to be any, there's no more appetite for apartments. Apartments are still being built. There's a hope, people are hoping and praying that we're going to allow other students from other countries that are going to take up these accommodations and so forth. But you know what? I think it's going to be devastating to a lot of local investors to see these their holdings, their investment holdings in high-rise apartments, just diminish. very, very quickly, because students from China are coming. And you know, the other thing is I was alluding to earlier on, and that is money's tight to get out of there. So if these apartments aren't being maintained, and if then aren't being maintained, they're obviously going to have less tenancy in them, and therefore, if they don't have tenants, therefore the overseas investors won't be able to meet the strata levies, won't be able to meet the special levies that will be raised in order to do the rectification work and the maintenance of the properties. And it's just amazing just to think as to what's going to happen. We're literally going to have million-dollar ghettos all over Sydney, Martin, and it's going to be absolutely devastating.
Yes, I agree with that, Edwin. The other interesting thing, I've been doing some analysis of those who actually lost their deposits. So they basically put the money down on off the plan construction and then had to walk away, right? And some deep analysis I've done indicates that a lot of those were actually ex-Chinese buyers. So they were people who actually had bought, contracted in 2017, 2018, and were using Chinese money, but they decided not to complete and just disappeared. So,
we discussed that a year or two ago as well. Yep. And that was the question that we raised at the time. And that was one of them. And we said, yeah, you can chase a local for any further drops in price, and the developer can chase the local. But try bringing somebody from overseas or chase them overseas. You know, catch me if you can. And it's going to be rather interesting how all this unravels. On top of that, Martin, on top of this, this pressure that's on high-rise apartments, you've also got the build-to-rent institutions as well that's going to put even more pressure on the high-rise development, as far as I'm concerned, because obviously if their apartments are back, it doesn't really matter because they own the whole building, they own the whole development, and their method or their system of operation is vastly different from individual owners in lot owners in a strata development.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, I think watch this space, but I don't think that we're going to see any resurgence of international buyers, particularly from China, anytime soon. And that's going to have a huge, huge impact on the high-rise sector, particularly, I think, in the major urban centres. It's going to play out, and it's going to play out. Remember that we've got high levels of approvals going on at the moment. A lot of people are building, you know. So higher supply, less demand. What does that indicate with regard to future prices, I wonder?
Well, exactly. And this is what we said. There's the shifting of the sands from high-rise living for the locals to going further out and looking at land. Land is where the value is. Land appreciates in value and buildings depreciate in value. So that's been a huge movement of different assets, asset classes into residential property, and particularly with people that are sick and tired of living in these high-rise developments and with their landlords or the owners or the owners' corporations not maintaining them. I mean, you get to a point where you've had enough. So they'll squirrel away more and more money and eventually get out and move further out, which is what we've been seeing, and hence the reason why we're seeing a shifting of the sands with the way that people want to live and why they're paying the kind of money they're paying in certain areas as well. One would say above even the reserves, above the realistic expectations that vendors have, because they want that safety and that assurance and that peace of mind that they're not going to be moving, and should further incidences of pandemics or anything else come our way, you can literally lock your fence and be within your own domain and feel relatively safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the other interesting observation, you've had a few clients come to you for property purchases who'd previously made money out of some of the other investment classes.
Well, rather interesting, I'd say, Martin. It's been an interesting week. I've had the privilege to help three groups only last week. And this is, anecdotally or anecdotal revelations or a bit of trivia or a bit of information for our followers and viewers. But these are people that have done very well out of the Bitcoin. And now they've said, you know what, we're out. And now we're happy where we are with regards to that investment. And now we're going to, it's helped us to buy a home of our dreams, and they're paying a little bit more than what I would think that the properties are worth. But at the end of the day, it's a lifestyle. They've made money elsewhere. Others have made money in tech shares and a combination of both. But it was rather interesting that all three cases have happened in the last week. And we've had some rather interesting conversations. Nobody's told me that they made a shitload of money out of silver just yet, Martin, and decided to sell and buy a house. But I'm sure there's somebody out there that's going to share that story on the comments of the video.
Well, there are a few people who believe that silver is the way to go. It's just a matter of it's rather undervalued and it has been for some time. But we'll see. But it is interesting, this shift of asset classes, right? I mean, it's interesting the shift, for example, from business properties to residential properties, right? And in, the conversion of office accommodation that perhaps will no longer be used as office accommodation simply because of what's happened with regard to COVID being converted into residential to add the more residential stock. I think that's going to be quite interesting. And also the mix, I've had quite a lot of information recently about less people looking, for example, at retirement villages than previously. So there's another shift there of particular asset types, particular types of property, simply because of some of the changes that have been going on. It's a very fluid situation at the moment, I think.
Look, it is, Martin. We spoke about the where we felt that Chinese money was going to move, the local Chinese money, not necessarily the overseas Chinese money, but the local Chinese money, the investors, and this is all from our WeChat chatterers and our Chinese whispers. We said that they were preparing to sell, and that was last year. Toward the end of last year, we're talking about them selling their businesses or not putting money into where they would otherwise put the money in is businesses, restaurants, and shops, takeaway shops, and other types of businesses along those lines in the catering, with regard to catering and the like. But knowing that there's no certainty there, so obviously they're not putting the money there. And if they did have a business, they would have sold it along with the freehold to get out quicker without any aspirations of things getting back to normal. So that was one group of people. The other group of people have been the Chinese investors, the second second generation, third investors that have invested in residential apartments from 30, 40, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they've also decided to sell those and collectively buy a home. And when I say collectively, I'm talking about young families and taking on their in-laws as sitters in the home, or in the attached granny flats, or a lot of these large properties have accommodation for in-law accommodation and so forth. And these are the homes that are getting snapped up that I've noticed in the North Shore, particularly in the North Shore from Lane Cove all the way to Warunga. So you've got all these scenarios that have been playing out, and all these asset classes. Investment asset classes being shifted from one side, one pool to another. So that's just locally, and I see, and that's been interesting to see how it is all playing out, Martin.
Well, indeed, and I'll just give you one other story, and that is that I'm seeing quite a lot of demand for properties, with land where it can either be knocked down and you can put four villas up, or a low rise or something. So quite often owner occupiers are now competing with people who want to basically be their own mini developers, and that's putting some price pressure on the upside for larger land parcels with properties on them that can be either knocked down or developed. I go through suburb by suburb by suburb, and it's happening everywhere. There are thousands and thousands of these mini projects running at the minute.
Look, there are, and we've also had a client not too long ago that we just bought, and that was. But look, it makes sense, Martin, and this is what I say: you buy where there's an upside, and there's a client that bought a parcel of land with a couple of homes on it, and you know, they can divide the that parcel 4,500 square meters, and they can divide it into 1,200 square meter lots. So they're going to do so. Keep the bigger parcel of land with the two properties, with the two dwellings, and sell the other, sell one of the 1,200 square meter parcels, and you know, recover 50% of what they bought for, yeah, you know, the 4,500 square meters for. It makes sense. You always buy, you know, with an upside, and they want land because they want to obviously, somewhat get off the grid, get off the, you know, grow their own veggies, because you know, they've also kept an eye on, like I have, of, you know, the price of carrots and tomatoes and potatoes, and you know, it's getting beyond a joke. But so this is what's happening. Also, there've been a number of clients that we've assisted them with purchasing blocks that are 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 square meters with you know, very stable, very good 4 or 5 bedroom homes on them. And now they're going to be building granny flats at the back. But when you look at these blocks and the size of these blocks of land, it's, you know, you halve them, you cut them in half, you know, it still gives the so-called granny flat that you're building at the back, it's still a big granny flat, and you still got plenty of land and plenty of space, which is what people are seeking for, that space, that tranquility, being away from the built up areas, because we don't know what's around the corner with all these things that we've been getting hit by, you know, left, right, and centre.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's certainly an interesting time. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of conflicting signals. But you know, bottom line for me, Edwin, is I think again, you know, people should remain cautious. Don't get caught up in the so-called boom and bubble that's running at the moment. Be logical, be sensible, and frankly, as we keep saying, do the work, you know, do the maths, make sure that you're buying into something which actually can appreciate in value, not something which is being sold at frankly a price that's ridiculous.
That's right, and sometimes you got to look at a little bit further afield, look at a suburb or two further out, and yeah, you're going to end up with more bang for your buck. So and these are the things that we obviously walk through with our clients, and we help them with, and we monitor the different markets. But look, it's only over the weekend, obviously, I get to talk to a lot of agents, and so does my team, and pull them to the side, and we ask them for their opinion, what's going on, what's happening. And as much as they say that it is hot, one of my follow-up questions to our general in our general conversation is, do you have more listings coming on? And none so far have told me that they don't. So it's, you know, as I say, the numbers aren't coming on as quickly as what they were coming on even last year, but they are replacing the properties that do get sold, and we're getting more on top of that. So let's see what happens over the next four weeks. It's going to be very, very interesting, Martin.
Absolutely, Edwin. Well, I always say and just remind people, there is always more property. You're right. There's always more opportunity to come. And it's not like there's going to be complete famine of property, I think, over the next few weeks and months. And I have to say, Edwin, I don't know whether I came across okay, but I've been wrestling with my two dogs below the desk here. They keep coming and nudging me, saying, I want to go for a walk, right? So I've been controlling the camera with one hand, and I've been controlling the dogs with the other. But hopefully it came across okay.
Yeah, well, look, no, it was fine. I can hear you fine. I hope I can hear Dusty meowing now. I think, yeah, she's up. She wants a feed. So I better get to it as well, Martin. So,
well, you know, we are ruled by our animals, I'm afraid. Edwin, thanks for your time today, as always. And we'll do it all again next week.
Looking forward to it, Martin.
See you. Take care. Good luck at the auction.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So there you have it. Another very insightful rant from Edwin. And just a quick reminder that if you want to get the latest and greatest in relation to mortgage stress and property dynamics, join us for our live stream tomorrow, 8 p.m. Sydney time, where I'll be walking through our latest stress and other analytics. And I can tell you that there's some very interesting moves afoot at the moment. And of course, you can ask a question live or send one through to me beforehand via the DFA blog. Links are below. This is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.